So good morning and welcome everyone. For those of you who don't know me, if there's anyone watching online, I think I recognise almost all the faces here, but my name is Malcolm Stewart. I'm one of the elders here, and I will be exploring this passage that Jeremy read to us across the rest of the morning. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It was given the jaunty title of Join This Chariot, and I'm hopefully going to try and show you how joining the chariot is a story of God's grace and how he wants to encounter with his people through the description that he gave us of Philip's encounter with the eunuch. I'm going to look at three main themes, as I think understanding these areas is important for us to understand the impact of how God is going to encourage us today. So first of all, I want to look at who was Philip and who was the eunuch. So there's a who there. And then I want to look at what was Philip doing at that point and what was the eunuch doing. And then hopefully look at why this is a story of grace and why we should sometimes be like Philip, but sometimes we feel more like the eunuch. But I'll explain all those as we go through. So first of all, starting with the who's, who was Philip? It would appear that Philip is one of the deacons of the early church. There are two Philips in the New Testament. He is often referred to in literature as Philip the Evangelist, and this was to differentiate him from Philip the Apostle. And Philip the Apostle was one of the disciples. Now, for those of you who know your New Testament and the book of Acts, you remember the story a few chapters before this one, where the church had experienced tremendous growth. Right back in those chapters, there were thousands being added to the numbers of the church each day. It was a fantastic time, and the believers met in the temple courts praising God. But with all these things, there was a fly in the ointment, and fairly quickly some tensions began to develop and arguments broke out. And here we have the potential for the first church schism. The church was made up of Grecian Jews, Jews of Greek origin, and Hebraic Jews. And the Grecian Jews were in the minority, and they complained to the apostles that their widows were being overlooked by the Hebraic Jews when food was being distributed. Now, the apostles, instead of just rolling their eyes and saying, oh, for goodness sake, let's just sort this out, can you not just... They didn't do that. They were much more professional than that. They said, what we're going to do to sort out this problem is we're going to appoint seven deacons to help minister to the early believers and allow the apostles to concentrate on prayer and ministry of the word. Now, one of these men was Philip. He had a Greek name, so he was one of those from the minority who was appointed to help manage the church resources and ensure care and equity for all. So we gather from those verses that not only was Philip deemed to be a trustworthy leader with the ability to get alongside people and delegate tasks and deal with arguments and complaints, but he was also from a minority, but he knew how to work well as part of a team. But only was he not only blessed with practical gifts, but we then hear about Philip when he moves to Samaria. This is later on, just before we hear about him meeting the Ethiopian eunuch. And here it talks about Philip in Samaria. And he is at that point preaching, healing, and caring for people. And this versatility appears to come from Philip being full of the Holy Spirit and open to God's call. So more about that. So that's a bit about who Philip was. So what about the eunuch? So who was the Ethiopian eunuch? So what we know about him is pretty much succinctly summarized in verse 27. And verse 27 of the chapter of Acts says, so on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of I've changed this now because there was different versions of that. I've got Candace, but it's Kandake was what Philip read, in the treasury of Kandake, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone down to Jerusalem to worship. So if he was on LinkedIn, I think that was a pretty impressive bio for the Ethiopian eunuch to have. But what can we learn from it? It was all pretty succinct. First of all, his Ethiopianness. Now, in this time, Ethiopia is not the country we know today, but it was referred to as the kingdom of Kush in the Bible. And this covers large parts of modern Sudan. So the first thing we know, and this should go without saying, but the first thing we know about the Ethiopian was that he was black, and he was travelling through Rome and the Jewish world, and he would have looked quite different from most of those round about him. But we can tell that he was affirmed of his identity as an Ethiopian. He was quite proud of this fact. He was important. He was travelling in a chariot. Now, that would have been the equivalent of being in a private jet these days. But the story would be quite different if he'd been in a private jet, because it would have worked out, because he could never come alongside them. But he was in a chariot, so he was an important guy. And this is important. So it shows that he was important and he had power. He was an official of the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. Now, I'm not sure what that entails, but some would suggest he was an accountant. But without causing any offence to any accountants out there, I think he was somebody, he was more than somebody who was just good with numbers and good with money. The Queen of Ethiopia, as we said, was called Kandake, but that was a title that was given to every Queen of Ethiopia at the time. And bizarrely, she was actually the king's sister, but due to the way that power was inherited in those times, she was the queen mother. So her children became the next kings. It wasn't like what our system we have here. It was slightly complicated. I shouldn't probably have mentioned that in the first place. But anyway, I find it quite interesting. But it meant that she had a lot of power and a lot of authority. So she was going to be the queen mother, the king mother of the next person to come. So she had great power and authority, but it meant that he was one of the lead people in his treasury. He also had great power and authority as well. So this brings us on to the last line, noun that's used to describe him. So he was Ethiopian, he was a treasurer, but he was also a eunuch. Now, to avoid going into graphic details, I think we need to know that he was a man who'd been emasculated. This made sense in those times because he was a male servant of the queen, and his emasculation meant that he could be trusted to be near her without thoughts of sexual impropriety. Now, I don't know how individuals were chosen for these roles, but he was obviously educated, he was literate, and he was numerate. Now, whether he possessed these characters and then was made a eunuch, or whether he was a eunuch first and he was educated, doesn't say. However, what we do know is that as a eunuch, he had great influence due to his proximity to the royal family. And we can see, again, from his chariot and his entourage that he was very powerful. So I think he would have been proud of his whole identity. He was proud of being black, he was proud of being important, he was proud of being educated, and he was proud of being a eunuch. Because of the status this conveyed upon him, all these things are important parts of the story. But the final thing we glean from the start of the passage is that the Ethiopian seemed to be a convert to Judaism. It said he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. I'm not sure how common that was, but since settling in the Promised Land centuries before, Jewish people would have traded and moved all over the region. And we don't know if the Ethiopian eunuch was going to or through Israel on royal duty as a high-ranking treasury official, but that's very possible, or whether he'd chosen to go there on pilgrimage. The end result was the same, though. He had been worshipping in Jerusalem and was now returning home. So that's a little bit more, a little bit explanation of his bio. So that's the who was the Ethiopian eunuch. So now on to the what were they doing. So what was Philip doing? Philip, as I mentioned, was in Samaria, which is the north of Jerusalem. He'd gone there after the persecution of the church in Acts. The church was persecuted and they were scattered all over the place. And Philip had gone to Samaria. He was preaching and healing and waiting on God. And as I mentioned before, to me the most important part of that was he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was allowing the Holy Spirit to guide him and to work through him. So even though he was north of Jerusalem, the passage says that he was prompted by an angel of the Lord to go to the south, to the desert road, the road to Gaza. So it's quite a trip that he had to make. So an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and I took that as being the Holy Spirit said to him, go to the desert road. And he was given no other instructions apart from that. So he was prompted by the Holy Spirit, and he obeyed. Now, it wasn't until he saw the chariot that he was prompted again. And this time he was told, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, this part in the passage, it says Philip ran up to the chariot, because obviously the chariot was moving at a little bit of speed. And I do have a sort of Monty Python-esque vision in my mind of Philip sort of jogging along beside the chariot and trying to catch the eye of the guy who was inside, but not really knowing what he was meant to be doing. And I'm sure it wasn't the sort of thing that Philip did every day. But what this shows us is that Philip was clearly open to listening to God's voice and understanding and acting on God's call. So let's contrast this with the eunuch then. So what was the eunuch doing? Now, the eunuch had been in Jerusalem to worship, and it says in the passage he was reading aloud from the scroll of Isaiah. All of this is important if we're trying to understand what the eunuch was actually feeling at this time. It's clear from the passage that the eunuch is confused. It says in the passage, Philip hears him reading. Now, in those days, people didn't read into themselves. That was something that didn't happen. If anyone was reading, they would read out loud. So Philip knew the bit he was reading from. So Philip hears this, he runs alongside the chariot, and he offers to help. He asks the question, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch replies, you can feel the frustration in his voice, how can I understand unless someone explains this to me? Now, it's been suggested that the eunuch is not just confused by the passage that he's reading, but confused by the whole experience of going to worship at the temple. We've already established that the eunuch was educated, important, and respected, and he was used to his high status of what that brought with it, and he was confident in his identity. But what will have happened when he went to the temple? He's gone to worship, but when he got there, it's most likely he will have found that the access all areas red carpet that was usually rolled out for him wasn't there at the temple. The temple and its courts were made up of several areas. There were outer courts, there were inner courts, and there was the holiest part where only the priest could go. Now, the guidebook to who's allowed into these different courts is laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 23. And quite roughly there, it starts off in the first verse saying, chapter 23 says, no one who is emasculated, this is in Deuteronomy, shall enter into the assembly of the Lord. Now, this means that the eunuch would not even have been allowed into the temple courts. And he would have been outside with the cripples and the beggars and those who are deemed to be unclean. And this must have been really humiliating for him at the time. He was made to feel like he was a second-class citizen. He was on a pilgrimage and he'd been rejected when he got there. For a man of his status, education and position, to be snubbed in this way would have been a shock. And he would have left him thinking, what is my identity in this God? I believe in this God. I believe I'm equal with these Jewish people, but here I am and I'm not given the same identity as them. So to try and make sense of what happened to him, it appears that he purchased a scroll of Isaiah. He'd either purchased or he'd stolen it, but I imagine he had the money, so you could buy these scrolls, and he was reading it looking for answers. So here we have these two contrasting characters. We have Philip, who is filled with the Holy Spirit. He is living his life, listening intently and in tune with God. He's in a life of service, and due to the closeness with the Holy Spirit, God puts him exactly in the right place at the right time. And we can contrast that with a eunuch, a believer, confident in himself and his identity, but suddenly rocked by something that's happened to him, something that's challenged him. He's been rejected and possibly humiliated, and he's confused. So this brings me to the part of the story where Philip and the eunuch collide. So the passage that the eunuch quotes from is Isaiah 53 that Jeremy read to us. And this is one of the great Old Testament prophecies that was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. And the passage that Philip overhears him reading was, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Now it says that Philip started there and explained the whole gospel to him, explained the whole good news to the eunuch. But I'm sure he probably jumped back a few verses from there and went back in chapter 53 to read, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Those two passages together are such a powerful prophecy of Jesus and Jesus to come. And to start explaining the gospel to somebody, the good news of the risen Christ, that's a fantastic place to start. But I don't believe Philip would have been restricted to chapter 53. Chapter numberings in scripture are a modern invention. When I say modern, it just means they weren't around at that time. So there would have been no need for Philip to stop at the end of chapter 53. And undoubtedly, it would have led him through chapter 54 into 55 into 54 and 55. Now, I'm not going to read those out to you. There's quite a lot there. But I would encourage you, if you get a spare 5 minutes today or tomorrow, to go home and actually read through chapters 53, 54 and 55 and into 56 of the book of Isaiah. Because what it does is it really ties into the eunuch's position and where he was. So in chapter 54 and 55, the eunuch would have heard prophesied that Jesus is the saviour to the whole earth and that God's desire was to expand his kingdom to everyone, not just the chosen people of Israel. And then it was said in chapter 55, it's entitled an invitation to all nations to seek the Lord while he may be found. Now, this would have resonated with the eunuch. He would have been sitting there thinking, yes, this is what I believe. This is what I came to Jerusalem for. I am one of these people. I am one of this wider nation that's been talked about. And this would have restored the eunuch's identity as an Ethiopian. It would have restored his identity as somebody who was wanting to make God accessible to him. But then miraculously, in chapter 55... The chapter 55 of Isaiah is entitled Salvation for Others. And the chapter starts with the promise that salvation is at hand. But then verses 3 and 5, 3 to 5, it goes on to say, and I want to read this to you. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says. To eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give my temple walls, I'll give my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, those I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Now, this prophecy in Isaiah is fulfilled in Jesus. And this was a direct demonstration of God's grace to the eunuch. He will have seen himself. He will have identified with himself in these words. And the good news was that this is saying that God didn't want there to be restrictions to the temple. God didn't want there to be obstacles in the way that prevented him from worshipping the living God in Jerusalem. How fantastically specific must these verses have sounded to the eunuch? So through these verses, the Holy Spirit will have reached into the eunuch's confusion and hopefully brought clarity, reached into his doubts and brought faith, and reached into his broken identity in God and restored it. Now it's no wonder that what happened next in the passage was the eunuch stopped the chariot and he said, "Why can't I get baptized just now?" And Philip took him out and baptized him in the waters at the side of the road. Philip had managed to guide him from being humiliated, rejected, and segregated from his desire to love and serve God. And Philip, through the Holy Spirit, had opened up scripture to him and explained the gospel, the good news, through these prophecies. For those humiliated, Jesus has gone before us, the Son of God, humiliated by a criminal's death on the cross. For those rejected, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who thirst and hunger." For those segregated, Jesus said to me, "There is no black or white, there is no male or female, there is no slave or free." This is the good news that the eunuch was waiting to hear. But what's this talking to us today? That's the eunuch's story. That's the story of how God talked specifically through Philip to this eunuch. This service has been twofold. All the way through, we've been looking at the eunuch and we've been looking at Philip. But the title of the sermon has been Join the Chariot. So what does it mean to both these characters? Now, first of all, I'd like to start with Philip and say I'd like to encourage us all to try and be more Philip. Okay? What can we learn from Philip? I think the main message was he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't do stuff in his own strength. He trusted in God. He heard God speaking to him. We believe God still speaks to us in the same ways today. I'm not saying that everybody here will have the same experience that Philip had. Not everybody here will see angels saying, do this and do that. But by being close to God and spending time in his presence on our own, as well as together on a Sunday, if we spend time reading his word, if we spend time praying, spend time asking God to fill us with his Spirit, and spend time serving God in practical ways, through these things, God will draw close to us. For a while I used to use the Lord's Prayer as a guide in my prayer life. And it's something I think I'll start doing again. Because one of the parts I find really useful, when it gets to praying through, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven, is taking that time to willingly, fully say the words and think how, in my life today, in the next 24 hours, can I do God's will to bring his kingdom? How can I bring God's kingdom values to the next meeting that I'm going to go into? How can I do God's will to bring kingdom values in my family? How can I do God's will to bring kingdom values into those wherever I meet them in situation? Sometimes it involves going out on a limb. Sometimes it involves asking people direct questions. Sometimes it involves just trusting in God in these moments. Philip did that. He asked the eunuch, he could have said various things, but he asked a direct question. He said, do you understand what you're reading? The question doesn't matter, but it was the fact that he asked it that was important. This was an opening. The conversation started with a stranger, but it doesn't have to be with a stranger. It's that opening question with someone you know. It's that opening question with somebody who has come alongside you that allows you to bring God's kingdom further in their lives. Now, Philip, when he asked this, he stepped out in faith. He risked being rejected. He risked being snubbed. He risked having his ego bruised. But he was putting himself in a place of vulnerability. And by asking that question, he was invited onto the chariot. The question of Philip's actions allowed him to be invited to journey with the eunuch for a while. Physically as well as metaphorically, he got alongside the eunuch. He took time to listen to his story. And through the Holy Spirit, he could work out what scriptures he needed to share to him, to reveal to him the truth. The eunuch needed to be here. It doesn't have to be a stranger, but maybe God is calling us today to be open to the Holy Spirit and choose to journey alongside someone who's in need of God's love that you've been put close to. It starts with meeting that person where they're at. Starts with understanding a little bit of that person's struggle, that person's issues, the baggage that person is taking on their journey. But as you journey with them and share some of the load, you can introduce them to Jesus and how he can help. So if you want to be like that, if you want to trust like that, if you want to be more like Philip, get close to God. Put yourself in the right place. Step out in faith and consider journeying with someone who's searching for truth. But the other side of those here, some of you may have heard this story and actually be thinking, I feel more like the eunuch today. For some of you, you may be feeling that you've been rejected. You may be feeling that you've been forgotten, overlooked. You may be feeling you've been disconnected and shut out from God. It may be just a feeling. It may be something that someone said to you that's hurt. It may be something you've even heard from the pulpit. It may be something you can't reconcile and it's keeping you from a full relationship with God. If that is you, I believe Jesus is saying today, my love is enough, my grace is enough for you. Jesus is saying you can be restored to the eternal promise from him. You can be restored to be in connection with God again. You can be restored to be in communion with God. Even though the eunuch was feeling confused as to where he fitted in, he was confused as to what the passage he was reading meant. He was confused because he'd gone to worship, and despite everything in his life that he thought would bring him satisfaction, he'd found that his power, wealth, and education, everything the world thought was important, wasn't enough. He still desired to have a connection with God, He desired to worship God where he was. He was probably feeling hurt and rejected. Hurt at the rejection that he'd felt in Jerusalem. And was trying to make sense of where he fitted in the world and how he could connect to God. So what did he do? He wasn't too proud to ask for help. Even with his education and his status, he realized he needed help. He simply said, "How can I understand this unless someone explains it to me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him, invited Philip to join his chariot. And if that's you today, if you're feeling confused, if you're feeling worried, or you're feeling rejected, if you're feeling that part of you doesn't fit in, then you can reach out to someone. You can reach out and ask them, "Can you explain to me how I can connect with God?" And there'll be an opportunity for this through the prayer ministry team when Sandra's going to explain to us how that's going to happen in a few minutes. But if that is you, I'd encourage you to come forward and receive that reconciliation today. Reach out, say the words and say, "I don't understand. I don't understand how I fit in. I don't know how this all works for me." It's the same Holy Spirit that ministers you through Philip that we're asking to help us. It's the same Holy Spirit that illuminated the verses in Isaiah that spoke into the eunuch's heart. It's the same Holy Spirit that can start that process in you today. We don't have all the answers. The ministry team don't have all the answers. But God does. And by journeying together, we have a much better chance of finding it. We have a much better chance of finding the peace that we need, of finding the connection to restore us to the love of our God. So today, just think about it. Do we see ourselves like Philip? Or do we want to be more like Philip? And what can we do to get closer to God, to trust in him, to take those steps? Or are we feeling like the eunuch? Are we feeling that we are in a position where we are feeling vulnerable, disconnected? I believe in both those situations, God wants to meet with us today. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the story of Philip and the eunuch. We thank you we can learn from both of these people in your word. And we thank you that your grace was sufficient in that situation. That you knew the eunuch's hurt and the eunuch's pain, and you knew his disconnection. And you used Philip through the Holy Spirit to draw him close to you. You are a God of reconciliation. You are a God of love, and you are a God of care. Let us experience that in our lives today, tomorrow, and this week going forward. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.